The symbolism of the color white is extremely enigmatic. On the one hand, the Torah tells us that Tzaras comes in the color white. V'se'ar b'nega hofach lavan. The hairs and the spots on the body turn white. It indicates a level of tumah. This is the meaning behind the name of Lavan. Lavan Harami was the arch enemy of Yaakov Avinu. Lavan was the embodiment of tumah and filth, the complete opposite of Yaakov Avinu. So Lavan, both in the name, both in the color, represents Tzaras, represents tumah. Moreover, the Zohar explains that Lavan Harami comes from the Shorish of the Nachash HaKadmoni. And the Medrash tells us that when the Nachash HaKadmoni was cursed, he was cursed with Tzaras. The stripes and the spots decorating the skin of a snake is a contamination of Tzaras. It makes total sense why his name was Lavan. Since he was a byproduct of the Nachash, he was punished with Tzaras, with something Lavan. So we see that the color white is something very negative, something very dirty, full of tumah. On the other hand, however, the color Lavan represents purity and Kedusha. The most obvious proof is from Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara describes how the red string that was tied in the base of Migdash would turn white during Avodas Yom HaKippur. And the color white indicated that there was complete forgiveness. It says in the Pasuk, Im yu chata'eichem kashanim kashela galbinu. If your sins are like white, like the snow, that indicates there's kapara. So is white tame or is white tahor? Complicating matters is the din that if an individual develops tzaras on his entire body, then he's actually tahor. Why does a small white spot render a person a mitzara, but a complete contamination of the entire body renders him pure? He's tahor. How are we to categorize the color white? Does white represent Kedusha or does it represent Tumah? Do we view white as clean and pure? Or do we view white as empty and desolate? The answer, I believe, is both. The color white is a dichotomy. The color white represents emptiness and desolation. Yet at the very same time, white represents purity and hope. In contrast to the color black, which signifies complete and utter destruction, the color white represents a second chance, a new opportunity. It's like pressing the reset button. It symbolizes sucking the life out of something or someone, but not destroying it. For example, when a person's hair turns white, it reflects a void of color, but the hair still grows. It's still connected to a source of life. When it comes in the form of tzaras, that whiteness generates tumah, the subcategory of Tumas Meis, as inferred from Miriam's comment about her own tzaras, al ni tzi kameis. When a person has tzaras, he's forced to do tshuva and go through the motions of tahara. In a similar way to when a person touches a dead body, he becomes tamei. He needs to become pure. When a person has blotches of tzaras, it's as if he's touching something dead and therefore becomes tamei. But when a person's skin becomes entirely covered with tzaras, then his entire being has been reset. It's as if he just died. A person who dies and is then revived does not require tahara. A person who experiences tchias amesim does not require the paraduma to purify him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sucked the life out of his entire body, and he now just starts all over again. He's granted a clean slate, a fresh start. He has been reborn. He starts all the way from the beginning as if nothing has ever happened. It's as if he never died and never experienced tzaras. He's given a new chance at life, completely reborn. The Maharal points out that the color white is a synthesis of all the colors of the rainbow. On the surface, white is colorless. But when you refract the white and break it down to its components, then all the colors of the rainbow emerge. White has the potential to result in the most colorful and the most successful outcomes in ways similar to ashes and lava and compost. Not everything destructive is permanent. Many are quite constructive. We have so many such concepts in halacha. So se almanas livnos, kare almanas litfor, yerida litzar chaliyah. So too tzaras, at its worst, can propel an incredible moment of growth and inspiration. As the four seasons run its course, we see the circle of life at play. From spring through winter, Mother Nature brings life and then death. The harshest of seasons leave the trees fruitless, the fields flowerless, and the grass lifeless, often covered with a blanket of snow, assuring its demise. But while the snow symbolizes death and defeat, as a waving of the white flag, beneath the surface, the moisture nourishes life and potential. As the spring takes form, the flowers begin to blossom and the grass begins to grow. The white snow, which once symbolized unsympathetic cold and defeat, is now the source of incredible growth and cultivation. It's particularly in this season of the spring when we read Parsha Chodesh. Parsha Chodesh is about renewal and rebirth. But not only is it a time of renewed season in the solar calendar, but it's also the first month of the lunar calendar. The solar calendar is governed by the sun and its seasons, spring being the first. The lunar calendar is governed by the moon. The month of Nisan is the first month of the lunar calendar. It's a renewal of the Levana. The word Levana is derived from the word Lavan. The Levana waxes and wanes. The Levana decreases and increases. The Levana represents success and failure. The Levana is that same dichotomy as the color Lavan. Emptiness, yet hope. One may wonder why the Parsha is called Tazria while all but a few psukim are discussing a Metzora. In light of our approach, we can understand that even a Metzora is a conduit for planting and growing, which is captured by the word Tazria. We should be zoche to take advantage of moments of emptiness and build upon them and grow and taste the fruits of Gan Eden with the B.S. Golot Tzedek Meher Yameinu. Amen v'amen.